Praise God. It is wonderful to be with you again. It was great being with you a couple years back and had a wonderful time Friday night. And I did ask Pastor Stephen in the introduction to stress that I'm very humble, so appreciate him doing that. I believe that I'm going to have a different message in each service. We shall see. But for those really hungry and thirsty for the word, you're invited to stay. Or you can just get online later and watch the messages. But let's be diplomatic, democratic. How many of you would like a lightweight, superficial, ear-tickling, carnal message this morning? How would you like something really intense from the Word? Okay, intense it is. That's the deal. Hey, let me encourage you on the way out. Stop by my book table and grab one of these cards. It says AskDrBrown.org. That's our website, and we have thousands of hours of free resources there for you. All the tough issues of the day, the cultural issues, the theological issues, we're addressing them every day. Our radio show, which we also have online, you can watch live on YouTube or Facebook. It'd be noon, your time every day, 5 days a week. And then thousands of articles and resources. Our threefold emphasis is revival in the church, gospel-based moral cultural revolution in society, and redemption in Israel. So if you have a heart for any of those things, grab one of these, visit the website. There's also information on our online school. And then if you believe in what we're doing and want to partner with us to shake the nation, how many know America needs shaking? And when I'm done preaching this morning, you'll feel it even more deeply and acutely. But God's given us a message. God's given us a platform. We're able to reach millions through internet, through radio, through writing. But there's so much more to do. And we have an open door to get the Line of Fire broadcast all over America. We have an open door to expand our outreach in Israel to reach the most religious Jews in the world. We have some amazing open doors. We just need more folks to partner with us. So also at our table, grab one of these cards. It's called Torchbearer. Those who help us with a dollar a day. So there's not much you can do with a dollar a day these days. And by the way, I live in North Carolina now. You know, our gas prices are a little cheaper here. North Carolina compared. And in real estate, you can actually buy something. Now it's like a little square box for $1 million. So you can actually buy real estate and things in North Carolina. So a dollar a day doesn't do much in California, but an investment can change the world together. So grab one of these cards, join our support team. You can fill it out at the table. And then every month we pour back into you new messages, exclusive resources, free classes. So let us pour back into you as well. Grab one of these cards on the way out, and I believe you'll be blessed as you partner together with us. All right, I'm going to be speaking on the theme that relates to this book, Jezebel's War with America. When it came out a few months back, the first printing sold out the first week. We've never had that happen. We keep running into people that say, I get it, I read it the first day I got it. And 70% of the core of the book I wrote in an intensive six-day period, just completely overwhelmed. So there's a ton more stuff in the book, but that's our theme this morning. So let's pray. Father, we're here for you. We've worshiped you. We've honored you. Now we want to hear from heaven. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and perceive what the Spirit is saying. May the works of darkness be revealed, that the name of Jesus be exalted in every heart and every life. May I speak with the life and power of the Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn first to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 16. I want to read a few verses in Scripture about Jezebel. Then I want to tell you what I mean when I speak of the spirit of Jezebel. And then we're going to look at what is happening in America today. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri began to reign over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, he took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Etbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made an Asherah, another idolatrous image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So not only was he sinful himself, but he married a pagan princess, and this further drove him into idolatry. 1 Kings chapter 21 says this. 1 Kings 21, verse 25. There was no one who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whom Jezebel, his wife, incited. He was a wicked man, but this wicked woman incited him to do more evil. And then 2 Kings chapter 9, he is about to be brought down, or Jezebel is about to be brought down by another man named Jehu. And Jehu confronts Ahab's son, Joram. Here's what it says, 2 Kings 9, beginning in verse 22. When Joram saw Jehu, he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And Jehu answered, "What peace can there be so long as the whorings and the sorceries of your mother Jezebel are so many?" So he mentions here her sexual immorality, and he mentions her sorcery or her witchcraft. In the New Testament, Jezebel is mentioned again, this time by Jesus. In Revelation chapter 2, he speaks of a woman who calls herself Jezebel, or calls herself a prophetess. Whether her real name was Jezebel, or that's just how Jesus refers to her. And she too is associated with sexual immorality and idolatry. When I speak of the spirit of Jezebel, I'm not speaking about some ghost from the past. I'm speaking about the same demonic forces that worked through Queen Jezebel 3,000 years ago in the Old Testament, and worked through this false prophetess Jezebel in the New Testament 2,000 years ago, the same demonic forces at work in America again today. In a concerted way, in a specific way, in a targeted way, so that it is undeniable. And we understand that every generation is under attack by Satan because he hates the human race. We understand that. We understand that there are different demonic forces and temptations in every generation. We understand that there are different attacks by the enemy in every generation, and that we're each going through our own unique battles. We understand that, and yet there are times when you connect the dots. It's like all the kids in school start to get sick. Well, something is going around. Or you go to the doctor and you say, "Doc, I've got this symptom," and he does a couple of tests. He said, "Okay, you have this." We can look at what's happening in America, we can connect the dots, and we can recognize Jezebel is at work again. So let me lay this out for you. Jezebel in the Old Testament, let's summarize the evidence. She was a pagan princess who married the king of Israel. She was a fanatical idol worshiper. She killed the prophets. She intimidated by fear. She emasculated her husband. She incited her husband to do evil. She is associated with sexual immorality and sorcery. That's straight from the pages of the Old Testament. When I say she intimidated by fear, I want you to think of this. She was killing the prophets. What happened to the other prophets? They went into hiding. They were hiding in caves, 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave. You think, why didn't they just speak? And if they die, they die. Why were the prophets of God in hiding? It was part of the demonic power of Jezebel. We know how strong she was, and that after one of the greatest moments in the Old Testament, when Elijah calls down fire from heaven, Elijah the prophet who feared nobody and no thing, when Elijah calls down fire from heaven in 1 Kings 18, and then the rain begins to come as he prophesies the rain, and Ahab tells Jezebel what happened and how he killed 450 false prophets. It's extraordinary. What does she say? I'm going to kill him by tomorrow. And what happens? Elijah gets up and runs. Even at that moment, Elijah intimidated by the spirit of fear coming through Jezebel. When we get to the New Testament, what does it say? Jezebel in the New Testament is a false prophetess. She seduces God's people into sexual immorality. And she teaches God's people to eat food sacrificed to idols. Let's look at America today, and let's see how this is playing out and why I say we are dealing with Jezebel. When we understand what we're dealing with, we can do battle better. When we understand what we're dealing with, it's not just one thing over here and one thing over here. What does Paul write to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians? We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. What does he write to the Ephesians? You know the passage in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. People are not our enemies. There may be people who hate us. There may be wicked people, but they're not really our enemies. It's demonic powers that are our enemies. I'm doing my best. I was preaching one time, 1986, all-black Pentecostal church in Washington, D.C., about 600 people. And as I'm preaching, my preaching's always simple and clear, and I'm preaching away, and somebody yells out, make it plain. And I thought, well, I'm making it plain. I'm simple and clear and to the point and not using lofty vocabulary or difficult grammatical structure. It's like, all right, I'll bring it down. I'm preaching away, and then when the elder's on the platform, make it plain. I thought, I can't make it any more plain. I don't know how, and then I realized, oh, make it plain, that means preach it. Preach it, brother. Wasn't part of my culture, so I'm going to make it plain, all right? Idolatry, that's the first thing Jezebel's associated with. In fact, there are some scholars who believe that that is the daughter of the king, that she would have been the high priestess over the Baal, the Baal temple in her country. She was a zealous idol worshiper. There were 850 people, prophets of Baal and Asher, that were supported by her, that ate at her table. And in America, we don't just have the idolatry of so many things that we worship and go after, so many things that take our energy and our attention and take us away from the things of God. But look at what G.K. Chesterton once said about the spirit of idolatry. When a man stops believing in God, he doesn't then believe in nothing, he believes in anything. So what's really interesting is you have now more and more people dropping out of organized religion, and they call themselves the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, because they have no religious affiliation. And what's really interesting is that these people are not just not believing in God or dropping out of organized religion or not identifying as Christians anymore, they're believing in every kind of crazy practice. Every kind of bizarre spirituality. It's a spirit of idolatry in a different form, and it's rising in America. And then sexual immorality. Remember, Jezebel was associated in the Old Testament and the New Testament with sexual immorality. Today, we have the seduction of porn. Yeah, there's always been sexual immorality. As long as there have been human beings on the earth after the fall, there's been sexual sin and sexual temptation, sexual desire. But we've never had what we have today. Look, when I was a heroin shooting LSD using hippie rock drummer, I didn't even know that stuff existed, that exists today, that any 8-year-old could find on a cell phone. It's just there. It's just accessible. Porn sites. Here's some stats. Porn sites receive more regular traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined each month. 35% of all internet downloads are porn-related. People admit to having extramarital affairs are over 300 times percent more likely to admit consuming porn than those who've never had an affair. At least 30% of all data transferred across the internet is porn-related. There are even articles today on subjects like the detrimental effects of pornography on small children. You have young men in their 20s that need Viagra to perform to have a normal sexual relationship because they've been so messed up by porn. You look at pictures of the human brain, scans of the human brain. A porn addict looks just like a cocaine addict. I mean, these things are addictive and destructive and polluting and demeaning to men and women alike. 2013 article in the Huffington Post said this: a staggering statistic in a recent university report stated that peer-to-peer users, those who share images, were more likely to have images of very young children and violent images. Friends, this is an epidemic. Of peer-to-peer users arrested in 2009, 33% had photos of children aged 3 or younger, and 42% had images of children that showed sexual violence. How do you think God feels about this? Jesus said in Matthew 18 that the angels in heaven that are looking at the face of the Father, they're looking at the little ones. Human trafficking at epidemic levels. Sex trafficking at epidemic levels. A number of our ministry school grads are involved in reaching out to sex traffic victims and trying to find ways to help them and bring them to places of rehabilitation and restoration. It's a monstrous evil in our day. One woman, very active in this, she and her husband were talking to me, and she said, you know, a lot of folks have switched over from dealing drugs to dealing people because they say, I can only sell drugs once. I can sell people over and over again. God have mercy. What about the baby-killing spirit? You see, in the ancient world where you had idolatry, you had baby-killing. Sacrificing of babies to idols. Here, look at this. A Greek source dating back to 146 BC describes the practice in Carthage, which today is the city of Tunis in Tunisia. There stands in their midst a bronze statue of Cronos, its hands extended over a bronze brazier, the flames of which engulf the child. When the flames fall upon the body, the limbs contract and the open mouth seems almost to be laughing until the contracted body slips quietly into the brazier. And this is just wild. Catholic Church News reported this November 6, 2019. Statue of ancient god of child sacrifice put on display in Rome. And look at this. This is the actual picture of it. This is the display. And you see that large chest cavity there. This would open up and the thing would just be heated from beneath. So it's this superheated metal and the baby put on that and burned alive. You think that's absolutely monstrous, and it is. For some bizarre reason, this is now put on display in Rome. But listen, on my radio show, Christian attorney Matt Staver referred to amazing situations where Planned Parenthood clinics, quote, were taking babies and intentionally aborting them so that they could harvest intact organs, some of which were born alive while the hearts were still beating. Hearts were being removed while they were still alive. It's a Christian attorney testifying to this. He continued, brains were being removed while the hearts were still beating, and we have evidence where they sliced the baby's face in two with a scalpel and then extracted the brain while the baby was still alive. Jezebel. Extreme baby-killing spirit. I understand that there's some of you here that have been scarred by abortion in your past, and I don't want to open that wound again. If you receive forgiveness from God, you're forgiven. The blood of Jesus cleanses that sin as well, and he can use your life as a witness to save other lives and to give hope to other young mothers and fathers. But friends, it's only the mercy of God that stops America from being wiped out. We've aborted 65 million babies. The baby-killing spirit, the spirit of Jezebel. Here's a picture during the Kavanaugh hearings as women were literally pounding on the Supreme Court doors and scratching the doors for their, quote, right to abortion. It's one thing for a 12-year-old girl gets raped by an uncle. then finds out she's pregnant. Now she's mortified. And should she have an abortion or not? Obviously, abortion is the wrong choice, but you could understand the struggle. And you can understand the issues involved and the pain and the scarring of her whole life and how she needs a family to surround her and help her. And it's a difficult issue. I understand that. And some who've had abortions say, you have no idea what I was going through. I'm not judging. But there's a far cry from that and the shout your abortion spirit and the militant baby killing spirit. That's the spirit of Jezebel at work. How about radical feminism? Not a healthy feminism that says, hey, a woman doing the same work as a man should get the same pay and have the same opportunities. And there should be a healthy esteem for women and they shouldn't be sexualized, made into sex objects. Amen to that kind of feminism. But radical feminism is God-hating, man-hating. Some of the central issues taken on by radical feminists is the spirit of Jezebel. Quote, a critique of motherhood, marriage, the nuclear family, and sexuality. Questioning how much of our culture is based on patriarchal assumptions. A critique of other institutions, including government and religion, as centered historically in patriarchal power. This is rising in our culture. You can go to class after class at university and be taught this stuff. Here, look at some quotes from some of the famous radical feminist leaders. Linda Gordon, the nuclear family must be destroyed. Whatever its ultimate meaning, the breakup of families now is an objectively revolutionary process. Andrea Dworkin, marriage as an institution developed from rape as a practice. Or Sheila Cronin, since marriage constitutes slavery for women, it is clear that the women's movement must concentrate on attacking this institution. Freedom for women cannot be won without the abolition of marriage. Friends, this is what's going on in our culture. This is why we are in such an existential battle for the soul of the nation. And it transcends politics, obviously. And there's no political answer. The only answer is Jesus rising up and the power of the Spirit in the midst of the church. And we get involved when we can and we vote based on our principles. But friends, the answer is not going to be found in the White House or Congress or Supreme Court. It's going to be found on God's people, getting on our knees, repenting of sin in our lives, and then shining the light brightly in our culture and winning the lost to Jesus and setting the captives free and saying, there's a better way. The way of radical feminism brings death and destruction. How about the emasculating of men? It's one thing to have some kind of machismo culture where you get drunk and beat up women and you think you're cool. I mean, that's got nothing to do with manhood. This is a perversion of manhood. But what's happened, this Jezebelic spirit, just like Jezebel emasculated her husband Ahab, it's what's happening today. Look, back in 2005, John Tierney published an op-ed in the New York Times titled, The Doofus Dad, beginning with this anecdote. One evening after watching Homer Simpson wreck the family car at a monster truck rally and plunge on a skateboard into Springfield Gorge, my six-year-old son asked me, why are dads on TV so dumb? Look, when I grew up, we watched shows like Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, Ozzie and Harriet, Lassie. And when we watched it, you know, growing up in suburban New York, we watched it, it didn't seem weird. It's like, there's no family like this in the world. Our family's got guns and, you know, I mean, that's just not the way I grew up. And the father was wise and he was stable and he had good principles. He was ethical. For years now, the dad on TV is a jerk. He's a fool. The kids ridicule him. It's the emasculating of men in our society. And we have it right within the church. Look, today, if you try to lead the way God wants you to lead, that's toxic masculinity. That's patriarchal. That's all it is. I'm talking about just being a godly husband or a godly leader or a godly dad. Amen. Hey, you voted for the intense message, didn't you? Yeah. Okay. Checking. And with this, if you've got radical feminism and an attack on the family and the emasculating of men, then you're going to have with that a war on gender, turning men into women and women into men. I mean, you hear this more and more. Here, biologically male NCAA runner named Conference Female Athlete of the Week. You're having more and more where biological males, 15, 16, or 18, or 20, they identify as females, and they're competing with women and beating them. No surprise. Men by nature, on average, are going to be stronger and faster. I didn't say smarter. I said stronger and faster. I certainly didn't say wiser, but stronger and faster. Of course you're going to beat women in competition. I mean, there's this guy now, a former male weightlifter in New Zealand, Australia. He competed with men. Now he identifies as a woman, and he's shattering all the women's records and beating all the women, and you see him on the platform. He's like hulking compared to these others. It's not fair. It's not right. I have compassion on someone who's struggling, and a man believes he's trapped in a woman's body. I have compassion, but you're not going to mistreat everybody else or put a 15-year-old male in the same bathroom as a 15-year-old female. I mean, in school districts all over California, that's been the norm for over a decade already. War on gender. Here, how about GQ magazine just a couple months ago? The new masculinity. Look at that picture. That's the new masculinity turning men into women. This is GQ magazine. Or how about this? Drag queens reading to toddlers in libraries. That's not Photoshop. That's an actual picture. This is recommended now by the American Library Association. And if your problem with it is because you're a transphobic bigot, that's how far things have shifted. That's why we've been sounding the alarm. We reach out to people with compassion. Whoever you are, whatever struggles you have, we're all fallen. We're all messed up outside of Jesus. Every one of us has fundamental flaws in the core of our being outside of Jesus. That's why he died for all of us alike, regardless of skin color, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of being Jew, Gentile, regardless of how we identify sexually or whatever. He died for all of us the same, shed the same blood to set all of us free. But the word God gave me back 2004, 2005, regarding gay activism, reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. That's why we've been sounding the alarm for years. People think, Mike, why'd you get off on this, man? Dr. Brown, why this emphasis? You know, homosexual issues and all that, it's not your own background, it's not your own burden. Why? Because of the culture, because of the agenda. Look, it was almost law in California last year. Make it illegal across the entire state if you are struggling with same-sex attraction or gender identity issues. It would be illegal for people of any age to get professional counsel to help them work those things out. Illegal. And it's been illegal for some time now for minors. It even got so far as to say, and ultimately this was stopped right before being put forward. I was writing articles, will the Bible be banned? Because if you were a pastor and someone came to you with a question, you said, hey, get Dr. Michael Brown's book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? That would have been against the law. But what about just saying, read the Bible on these passages? Those who came out of the closet 50 years ago now want to put us in the closet. That's the reality. I don't know about you. I'm not going in the closet. And then sorcery and witchcraft. The exponential rise of this. I'm talking about Jezebel at work. New York Times, end of last year. When did everybody become a witch? Witch parties, witch protests, and a bevy of new books. We have reached peak witch. And then it had a picture. Oh, another story. Trump presidency has spawned a new generation of witches. And let me explain something. You may have voted for Donald Trump. You may have not voted for Donald Trump. You may think he's doing a great job, terrible job. That's not the issue. The type of person he is, he has done a lot of good for pro-life issues, religious liberty. The type of person he is, he also brings a lot of collateral damage. It's like trying to restore a room in your house but using a wrecking ball to take the walls out. There was a lot of good stuff and a lot of collateral damage. So whatever side you're on, he's kind of like a Jehu figure in the Old Testament who said, let's stand up for God's causes in a zealous way. But also there was a lot of collateral damage, this alpha male type character. And that's why with the Trump presidency, the Jezebelic manifestations have just come out of the woodwork. Do you understand what's happening spiritually? Whether he's your man or not, that's not the issue. Whoever's president, we pray for. We pray for God's best, whoever's in the White House. And we do our best to support and say, hey, do what's right. I understand that. But please hear me. The Trump presidency, Jezebel, with the women's marches, bringing out the worst of radical feminism, bringing out the worst of the baby-killing spirit, and now bringing out witchcraft and sorcery like we've never seen before in the history of our nation. It's not a coincidence. How about this picture in the New York Times article? One of the 1968 radical feminist groups was called the Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell, spelled out witch. And here they are performing a Halloween hex on Wall Street, October 31st, 1968. Is that blatant or what? Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell. I have friends in Germany, very, very aggressive, preaching the gospel, very strong, standing with Israel in the aftermath of the Holocaust, very strong, pro-life. And their building was recently vandalized and one of their buses torched. And who did it? The feminist autonomous cell. Jezebel at work, friends. How about silencing the voice of the prophets? We must decide and decide quickly who is chief, whom we will serve. Speaking words of a Christian leader here. Millions of people in America live in a moral fog. Modified immorality on the basis of cleverness guides millions of people. Modified dishonesty within the letter of the law is the practice of millions more. Surely the time has come because the hour is late when we must decide and the choice before us is plain. Yahweh or Baal. Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. This is a now word. I suggest to you that America needs prophets today who will set before the nation the essential choices. We need a prophet who will have the ear of America and say to her now, how long will you halt and stand between the two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow him, but if Baal be God, follow him and go to hell. Oh, that was 1947. Boy, sounds relevant today, doesn't it? I wonder what Reverend Peter Marshall would say if he could see where we were at today. It would be shocking beyond words. And friends, I've had several times in my 48 years in the Lord, real confrontation with the spirit of Jezebel. I mean, really ugly attacks, some that lasted for months. It was oppressive. The spirit of Jezebel always opposes the prophetic wake-up call, the repentance message. There was intimidation by fear, that same thing. I felt no authority in the Lord. I felt like my knees were just cut out from me. And rather than standing boldly, it's very natural for me in the Lord, the way he's called me, to just stand and speak. I'll be in situations where people say, how'd you get the courage to do that? It's like, what courage? God gave me a message. You just do it. But when I was under attack by this Jezebel spirit, man, I didn't want to preach. I want to do anything. Fear, intimidation, physical attacks on my wife, Nancy, constant mental torment on both of us. And we knew it was happening, but to break through took fasting and prayer and a word from the Lord. You have to be assured if you confront the spirit of the age, you'll encounter Jezebel. I'm going to bring this to a close and give you a clear word in terms of what we need to do. But I had this very intense encounter with Jezebel years back when God first laid it on my heart to preach a national message of repentance. And boom, as soon as a book came out about that, boom, attack hit me. And this went on for some months until the breakthrough came. Then a few years after that, I was in India. And I was going to be there for a month. And the brother we work with, he's been stoned for preaching the gospel. Over the years, some of his men have been martyred for preaching the gospel. And he said, Mike, I feel we're supposed to go into the city of Vijayawada. And there they worship Kanakadurga, this goddess that's a stronghold of the state of Andhra Pradesh with 60 million people. And I felt from the Lord we were supposed to have an Elijah-like confrontation and say, who is the real God, Yahweh or Kanakadurga? And as we got closer to it, about a week before, I started to feel that same Jezebelic attack, all those same things hitting me. I thought, what in the world is going on? So I asked my friend Yesupadam, I said, tell me about the statue of Kanakadurga. And he said, oh, she's this beautiful warrior goddess, multiple hands. And one hand, she's holding the head of this giant that she conquered. I found this picture online of Kanakadurga. And there she is riding on the back of a lion. And there, that handsome-looking man on the bottom is the king of demons. And she's piercing him through the side. She's conquering him. She is a man-conquering monster. And then he said to me, something else really strange. He said, once a year, the male followers of Kanakadurga wear women's clothes and makeup. What? I happened to mention this some months back while preaching in Fort Myers, Florida, and an Indian woman came up afterwards. She said, oh, Dr. Brown, you're exactly right. I've experienced this ministering in India. I've confronted that same Jezebel spirit. She said, you need to research more about Kanakadurga. Here, Kanakadurga, today, look at this. India gets its first transgender Hindu idol at this year's Durga Festival. 2015, and there is the new image of Kanakadurga, half male, half female. Yeah, I'm talking about a real demonic attack. I got this email from a friend, godly woman, she and her husband, very solid couple. Dear Dr. Brown, when we were in D.C. last year, we accidentally got caught up in a demonstration against Justice Kavanaugh. The next morning when I thought about what we encountered the previous day, I realized how dark the atmosphere had been in the midst of the protesters. After we got home, I felt as though we had picked up something while in D.C. and asked for prayer at our home group. It was at this time that my husband began to slip into a state of deep depression. To give a few details, he didn't want to live. He felt he was a total failure in every area. He became intensely fearful of everything and acted irrationally at times, and he felt he had failed God, and that God was angry with him. He's received ministry by several people over this past year and has received some relief. This past week while we were driving home from D.C., we listened to the YouTube interview about your book on the Sid Roth Show. I knew about this Jezebel spirit, but had never linked it to Elijah's reaction to Jezebel. As you explained your experiences, we heard almost exactly the same things that he's been suffering through. Now we understand what or who we're fighting. Now, Kanye West, he's got a new song in his new best-selling album about Chick-fil-A. Closed on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A. Closed on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. Hold the selfies, put the gram away, get your family, all hold hands and pray. When you got daughters, always keep them safe. Watch out for vipers, don't let them indoctrinate. Closed on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. You're my number one with the lemonade. And then look at this. Try me and you'll see that I ain't playing. Now back off my family. Move your hands. I got my weapons in the Spirit's land. I, Jezebel, don't even stand a chance. Jezebel, don't even stand a chance. Kanye West calling out Jezebel? Something going on here. 2 Kings 9, when Jehu brings down Jezebel, look what happens. Then Jehu went to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she put on eye makeup. She's still a seductress. Arranged her hair and looked out of a window. As Jehu entered the gate, she asked, have you come in peace, you Zimri, you murderer of your master? He looked up at the window and called out, who's on my side? Who? Two or three eunuchs looked out down at him. Throw her down, Jehu said. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. We're not talking about people. We're not calling people Jezebel. We're dealing with demonic forces. We're not talking about hurting people, but you see who it is that cast Jezebel down? It's the eunuchs. It's the men who've been castrated. It's the believers who've lost their authority and been crippled by fear. So I want you to stand to your feet with me. I've laid out the ugliness of the problem. And in probably the next message, I'm going to talk more about overcoming a spirit of fear. But right now, many of you look at your life and you're recognizing the symptoms. It's like, I've been crippled. That spirit of fear intimidated. That spirit of seduction is a supernatural attack. The level of attack on our family, you start to put things together and realize it's Jezebel. Jezebel. So two things. One, you're being led by godly leaders here. Your pastor Steve is going after Jesus and he's fearless. I want to encourage you as a church together, through prayer, through spiritual warfare, through preaching the gospel, through taking a stand. I want to encourage you to push back Jezebel in your region. It can be done by the Spirit. Something can happen right around where you live that's different than the rest of the state of California. Why not? Why not? And then individually, those of you who are under real unusual attack, and as I'm speaking, it's like, yes, yes, that's what it is. What you just read about that man, that's what's happening to me. You be male or female, it's the same attack. I want everyone to close your eyes. If you feel specifically under attack in this way, the things I've identified, the things I've spoken about, it's like, yes, that's hitting me. I want you to raise your hand. We're going to pray over you. I want you to raise your hand all over this place. Thank you, Father. By the name of Jesus, we come against this stronghold, not in our power, but clothed in the power of your Spirit. Not in our name, but the name of Jesus. We cast down every high and lofty thought and imagination. We cast down every lie. We break the spirit of intimidation and fear and say, be gone in the name of Jesus. We proclaim liberty and freedom to the captives. And we say by the cross of Jesus, by the resurrection of the Son of God, Jezebel is defeated. Give a shout of victory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And like everything else, live this out one day at a time. If you get the Jezebel book, there are more guidelines we lay out. But build yourself up, your heart and your mind, what the Word says. This is not just a mental battle. Build yourself up in that spirit of faith that'll bring down the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Hey, I'm Steve Abraham, the pastor of New Life Oxnard. Thank you for watching our YouTube channel. You can join us live every Sunday for a new sermon and live worship. Also, be sure to take a minute to subscribe and turn on your post notifications so you don't miss any of our new videos or live streams. And please share with a friend. And if you would like to partner with us in furthering the gospel, please click the link below. Don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for watching, and God bless you.